positive. If you were here this morning, this tonight won't be as bad as this morning. If you were sleeping this morning, there was one or two, I have no idea how a human could sleep this morning. If you sleep, I'm going to say this. Stop eating donuts in Sunday school because you're getting a crash, because, my friend, the subject of anger affects every person equally. There are no humans that don't have anger problems. Zero. There are a few that learn how to use anger in a biblical way. Tonight we're going to deal with jealousy. Now, jealousy, is it a problem that we have? Probably not as pressing as anger. And the older you get, in some ways, some people get over it, except women, who still don't like how other women look better than them. Uh-oh, I better hurry. My mind goes back to grade school. Look at me. Look at me. Hey, up here. Grade school. Mr. McCall started teaching grade school. He was our seventh grade teacher. He was the first young teacher I ever saw. Remember, when I was a kid, all the teachers had come out of the one-room schoolhouses. And all of these women were in their 60s to 80s, and they could rip your head off with your ear. And you know what our one-room school? These women had eight grades in a class. You didn't dare blink or you died. Mr. McCall came, and his wife was young and pretty. I still remember my friend Mark Gress. I said to him, we all were in love with her. She was the prettiest thing we'd ever seen. I said to Mark Gress, boy, she's pretty. And Mark said something like this. He said, my mom says she has stringy hair and a hook nose. Now, why can I remember that 50 years later? You know why? That's jealousy. We'll get to that tonight. 1 Samuel 18. We're just going to read mainly the introduction. Verse 1. It came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan, and this is a very good word, was knit, bound instantly with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, or they cut a covenant. I don't know how far down the road we go with this. The Hebrew word is never made, Annabeth. You know this. It's always cut. I don't know if every time they literally killed an animal and cut it in half, but the idea is this is a little bit more serious than I love you. We are BFS for 5 minutes. You know, pretty serious matter. They did something serious about a covenant between David and Jonathan. You say, how long did it last? All of David's life and beyond. So they made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan went beyond that. He stripped himself of the robe that was upon him. He gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his, and this is some sort of a, you know, something that holds the flowing garments together. Girdle, maybe is not the best word. Verse 5. David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. The Hebrew word is sakal. It is translated wise or wisely and profitable, that kind of an idea, or success. It probably has a broad idea is David knew how to do things the right way that were appropriate for the occasion and tended to produce success. If you don't know how to dress, you'll never get a real job. If you don't know how to look people in the eye, you'll never get a real job. There's a lot. David just knew how to behave. Wisely doesn't mean he was smarter than the other people. He knew how to be appropriate to the situation, and he was very successful. It keeps saying that through the whole chapter. And it says, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So, I mean, David was exactly what you do when you hire. Think about this. As a pastor, you bring someone alongside, Pastor Koch, we won't mention Brian, but we bring people alongside. You want them to succeed. Yes? Verse 6. Came to pass, as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, or it's hard to know what these musical instruments are. Some people think tambourines, maybe something like that, with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his ten thousands. And Saul was so happy that he had chosen David to work for him. He couldn't imagine. By the way, do you understand the problem? We're going to speak about jealousy tonight. I don't think jealousy is as bad as anger. I think it affects different people at different times. But look at me. Every time you put somebody down, you do your little snit. That little game you're playing is a way of keeping people beneath you. You don't want to admit somebody might do something more honorable than you. We continue. Saul was very wroth or furious, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David ten thousands, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? There is a lot of real illogical thinking in that verse. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. We're going to look at the whole chapter tonight. We won't cover every verse, but we're going to look at the big green monster, jealousy. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come here, we can worship you, we can hear from you. It's kind of strange that somehow these two sermons on very deep subjects, anger and jealousy, came up on the same Sunday. Tonight's sermon's very different than this morning. Tonight's one of those things that nags at some people. Help us to be able to wrestle with this concept, me be able to say some things from the scripture that helps us, for all of us to move forward in this area. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It was somewhat over 30 years ago. I have never told the entire story at any one place, nor probably will I ever. Tonight you'll get closest to hearing the entire story. I could tell you stories. I have a book on forgiveness upstairs in my office that tells a story of he and a friend starting a major corporation and the friend slitting his throat because the friend was jealous of him. But I'm going to bring it to my life. 1986, I graduate with my first master's degree and I go into the pastorate. My goal is really simple. I'm 29 years old. I'd already gone to school at George Washington. I'd already gone to Bible college, got in a first master's. I'd been in school most of my life and working here at Great Lakes. So my goal was, I'm 29 years old, I would like to have 5 years at least as an assistant pastor to kind of learn the ropes, how to deal with people's problems. I thought maybe I could learn something about finances. I could learn, you know, any number of things from the senior pastor. So in 1986... and I won't tell you, by the way, I wish I could tell you that all of this happened because I prayed for 4 weeks and God answered. I actually went to be assistant pastor because I liked the other assistant pastor. There's no purity in you either. Get over yourself. I went there because I liked the other assistant. I thought I could get along with anybody. I had been in the Navy, Jim. I had worked for some absolute insane people and got along with them. I had worked with some of the nastiest people you could imagine, and I always got along every place I was. I never dreamed that I would have a problem as a pastor. So I'm 29 years old. I go into the pastorate in 1986. I had been there exactly 2 weeks when it happened. Someday, I don't know what day it is, it's been too long, I'll say it was a Monday, the senior pastor came to I and the other assistant pastor and said, I have a family that's disgruntled, they're leaving the church, I want to go visit them. I said, fine. We said, fine. And he said, we want you to go with, you know, he wanted us to go with him. So I said, fine. So later that night, we all got in somebody's car and we drove over to this couple's house. Now understand, my wife and I had been there. Amy was not yet born. John was not old. He was a couple years. And frankly, I'd been there all of 2 weeks. So, you know, I'd made a big splash in this church. I get to this church. I go to the house that night. I ride over with the pastors. We get to their house. They invite us in. And I still remember, they had a huge, long, wooden table. It's still one of the bigger tables I've ever seen. It was kind of rough. It was not beautiful. It was rough. And I don't remember how they... I remember the couple sat over here. Seems like the pastor and the assistant sat here and I sat on the end, but I don't remember. Folks, I don't know these people. I don't know why I was even invited. We all sit down, we start talking, and I'm into this conversation in 30 seconds, and I'm not so dumb to realize these folks are not coming back. So, end of the conversation, this is what happens. Somewhere in the 30-minute conversation, they looked at when the pastor said, "Why are you leaving?" They looked at him and they said, "We don't like your preaching." I'm going to use people's names here. "We don't like your preaching, Koach. And we don't like your preaching, Steinbach. Listen, we like Warren's preaching." From that moment, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt I would not survive the year. And I experienced, are you listening? Someone, have you ever had someone eye you? Look what it says in verse 9. Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Do you know what that means? I asked you a question. That means everything that David did, Saul is looking, wondering, look up here. What's David really mean? What's he getting at? What's he trying to do? I went home. By the way, my wife knows this. The other assistant pastor, I told within a couple of days, I said to this guy, I won't say his name, I know something's going to happen to me. I knew. I said, you mark it down. When it happens, I'll tell you. By the way, I lasted in that church 7 months. They were the most miserable 7 months of my life because from that, by the way, that family had heard me preach, look at me, one time. And in 1986, I'm sorry, Brian can preach. I couldn't preach a lick. Where are you going to learn preaching from? Hiles Anderson? Jackie Boy Hiles? You don't learn how to handle the scripture in places like that. Folks, I couldn't preach. You know what? I don't know what why they said this. I didn't. I still don't. If my life depended on it, I don't know who these people were. 7 months later, my wife and I left that place, and that particular individual said we ran off 200 people. Of course, there weren't 200 people in the church, but it sounded good to other dumb people. That's jealousy, folks. Now, I'm going to say this to you. I make people nervous. I make pastors very nervous. I don't know why it is. I'm such a nice person. Nancy. Now, before we get the text, what if somebody came up to me and said, you know, Brian does a good job preaching. How do you feel? I'm thinking, well, praise the Lord. We're trying to get this guy here. He's already been through Maranatha. We're sending him to Central. I'm ecstatic when this guy's a good preacher. That's the point of the ministry. Somebody comes. By the way, he'll be here next Sunday night. We're going to have a guy that's a pretty good preacher. He's kind of grown up. I think he's done a good job. Fact is, I think he's pretty excellent. He's only got really one problem. He has an in-law problem. But next Sunday night, Pastor Melvin will be here. He has an in-law problem? Okay. By the way, if somebody says, boy, I like his preaching, you know what I'm going to say to you? Well, praise the Lord. That's what we were trying to accomplish. What do jealous people do? Oh, by the way, if somebody says they like Brian's preaching, you know what I'm going to tell them? I'm going to say, are you sure you don't have Brian confused with Nene? We're going to get to the sermon, if you don't mind. In your notes. When it comes to the subject of jealousy, first of all, we all experience it. Is that a true statement? We do. Some of us more than others. I don't know. I will say this. Of all the sins in the Bible, some of them I struggle with. I don't usually struggle with jealousy, usually. But I spot it, especially, I better not say anything about women. I was mean this morning to women. Oh, it's obvious with women. She's not all that. It's like, okay, I better move on here. By the way, we experience both sides of jealousy. We experience people being jealous of us sometimes and vice versa, us being jealous of them. I mean, we experience both sides. Now, here's the hard part. We might not or probably won't call it jealousy. Have you ever noticed that your sins get renamed into something nice? Look at me. Have you ever noticed that you name yours? We give ourselves names. You know, I don't have a problem with anger. I get frustrated easily. Or I don't have a problem with impatience. No, I don't even lie about that. We name things differently. Very few people are going to say, I have a jealousy issue. But some folks, we all do at times. So none of us care to deal with it. We don't like to deal with jealousy. It's such an inside ugly thing. All of us, in my way of thinking, must come to understand it. I think tonight, folks, it's very different than this morning. My main goal is for you to understand when you leave here tonight, what does jealousy look like? I think Wednesday night we'll follow up with some different ideas, but what's it look like? And most important is the last statement. You ready? And how that jealousy and or envy, and I'm not sure what the difference is between the two. They're very minor. Everybody look at me. Let's back up. Drinking is stupid. But there's at least a payday that you get drunk. I guess. Overeating, gluttony is a sin. But you at least get to enjoy the food. There are two sins that have no payday. Jealousy and envy. There's nothing, you don't get anything except bad feelings. Do you realize there's no payday? Most sins, there's some kind of a payday. You know, you do something wrong and then you get a little something, it's not worth it. Jealousy and envy, that's the point, has no payday, none. So you sit around and you look at Cliffy. By the way, this morning, let's see here, old man, very old man, Louis, Dada, Michael, Tim McGrail, Scott. Were you guys in a deacon's meeting 4 or 5 years ago when Robert Valina was suggested as a deacon? And this old guy that you're looking at said, if we suggest Robert Valina, I know somebody that's not going to be happy. Not because Robert is a bad guy, because they're going to be... By the way, how can you be jealous of somebody serving? Jealousy has no payday. It just makes you feel miserable. All right. So what we're going to look at is text from here. We're going to begin, though, and we've already read the verses, so we don't need to reread them, with what I call reality check. Not that reality ever affects jealousy. Under the verses, I say this. David had obviously won a great victory. Secondly, David and Jonathan became friends. Obviously, that's one of the themes in the rest of the book. Third, Saul chose or wanted David as part of his team. Man, if you come to me and you say, that's Sparky, that Miss Debelak is sharp, I'm going to say, praise the Lord. I'm happy she works for us. If you tell me Amy does a good job and she's a good leader, I know she is. Too bossy, but, you know, that's towards me. I like it when people here succeed. You say, why? Because I had something to do with choosing them. Why would I not like people to succeed that work here? That's insanity. Saul chose David and then was insanely jealous. Makes no sense at all. Next, David was a fantastic find. We will look at this a little later over and over and over in this text. It keeps saying David was a great find. He was a great guy. So we will begin with this. I say number one, and this is where you get to jealousy. Here's where it's tough. Jealousy is always an inside job. Do you know what I mean by inside job? Look here. It's something on the inside of you. It has nothing to do with out there. It's something to do with the inside. Always. Now, we're going to read these verses, and then we're going to read starting in verse 8, because there's a repeated phrase I want you all to pick up on. If you have never noticed this in 1 Samuel 18, this will be an eye-opener. Verse 6 gives you the background. The background is they're coming back from the slaughter of the Philistine. Verse 7 talks about women coming out, and I'm guessing women did this a lot. It was in this part of the world, it was to flatter the big guy. They come back, by the way, and they come back specifically, it says in verse 6, to meet King Saul. So they're not coming back to meet David, they're coming back to meet Saul. They say this statement, you know, Saul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands, and Saul is furious. And then he says, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Now, everyone look at me. We're going to read the next verses. Notice the underlying portions, because this is where the action is. Verse 8, yes. Notice what it says. Saul was very wroth or furious, and the saying displeased him, and he, what? Who did he say this to? Somebody said it. He said it to himself. He's not talking to anybody. Folks, do you realize all of your problems in your life are what goes on in your mind and heart? What are you talking to yourself about right now? If you don't get... look at me. Hey, people who are bubbleheads that think it's okay to be a Billy Baptist, they think that's wonderful, men and women. Here's the problem. Only solutions you're ever going to have in life, movement forward, are going to happen when you get control of your mind and recognize you have a conversation going on in your mind, in your heart, right now. He's talking to himself. By the way, 5 times in this text it says that. Verse 11. It says, and Saul cast a javelin, or like a spear. For he said, who did he say it to? I will smite David even to the wall. By the way, he's not talking to other people. Verse 17, and Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battle. For he said, but who's he speaking to? Himself. He says, well, I don't want to kill David. I'll let other people kill him, the Philistines. Verse 21, and Saul said, now he's talking about his second daughter, I will give her him her, that she may be a snare to him. Again, he's talking to himself. Look at me. Jealousy is an inside job. It's not something out there. You don't walk into a room and somebody says, Brian did a good job preaching. By the way, if you tell me that, I'm going to be happy. If you told me he did a bad job preaching, I'm not going to be happy. Because my goal and my job as a pastor are to train men younger than me, or help train them or encourage them. So one day I'm going to die. Now, by that time, he'll be an old man. So then it's going to have to rest with middle-aged men at that time. But by the way, to train the next generation, I'm here for that. Saul keeps having a conversation with himself. Hey, you want to go someplace in life? You better stop that conversation with yourself. First of all, you'd have to know you're having one. Wow. The last phrase doesn't say he said. It actually uses a different Hebrew word. But the concept's there. Verse 25. And Saul said, thus shall you say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. Again, he's back to talking to himself, thinking. In your notes, jealousy is always an inside job. In your notes, Saul was talking. We recognize that. I asked the question, but to whom? And the answer is himself. He's carrying on a conversation with himself. Next, all done internally, without anyone's knowledge. No one knew about it but him. So please look at me. You walk into the church. By the way, Dave Haas sent me the funniest text. he sent me a text, because Friday night they had a little get-together over for the teachers over at his house. And I texted him later and said, thank you, it was a wonderful meal, and it was fabulous, we had a good time. And he texted me back and he said, well, I was very nervous, something like I was afraid you weren't going to text and you weren't going to come and then I wouldn't know if you liked us. Really? By the way, if you walk into this room wondering if people like you, who's that on? Whose conversation are you having? All right, that's a fine conversation to have the first time. 5 or 10 years later, you're still having that same dumb conversation? Does he like me? Does he like my hair? Oh. May I say this? I'm 59 years old. I rarely ever think of my hair, except I try to comb it and get it cut once a month. So if you think I'm going to come up and say, oh, your hair... Love your hair. Woo! Tim, I really like the way you got your hair cut. That's what Tim and I talk about all the time. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Jealousy is an inside job. Hey, wait a minute. What happens when you go to the school reunion, if you ever went, and you go there, it's 20 or 30 or some cases 80... Well, Frenchie's case is like 250 years later, so no one's still alive but him. You go back and you find out, I thought I was all that, and that person's done more than me. Are you happy? Or do you start doing what? Talking to yourself. Jealousy is an inside job. Secondly, jealousy is usually about other things. By the way, I don't say always. Sometimes jealousy, listen, it's possible. It is possible that we could hire someone on staff that we think is a good person. They come on staff or even as a pastor and they try to undermine. So an element of jealousy might be real, but normally jealousy is not about what we're talking about. By the way, was David trying to take the kingdom? You never find in, by the way, in 1 Samuel 16, David knows. Now I'm going to test some of your Bible knowledge from last week. David knows he's chosen to be the king. What does he do after that? He goes back to the sheep. David's kind of clueless. He knows he's going to be the king. My guess is David thought, maybe I'll be the king after Saul dies or something. I don't think David understood what was going to happen. But Saul, he wants the kingdom. It's always about other things. In your notes, Saul was afraid of David. Well, he tells us why. This is the author of the text saying, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. So the real issue wasn't what Saul was talking about. It wasn't David, it was Saul. Jealousy is usually about other things. We know this from 1 Samuel 15. I will not read for time all the verses. Verse 23. For rebellion, God says to Saul, is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee from being king. Jealousy is usually about other things. I've told this story before. I will tell it again. My mother came from a big family. There were 8 boys that lived, 8 uncles, and there were 3 girls. So there were 11 that I grew up with. My mom and my dad, that's 2 of them, but I mean, there was 11. So I grew up in a big family on mom's side. I come from a large group of, I have 38 first cousins on that side. So it's a big family. Of the 3 daughters, my mother is by far the oldest. She is the oldest in the family now. She's 84 to 80, 84 something, 84 plus. She has a sister 6 years younger, my Aunt Mary, and then she has another sister 10 years younger, I think. So she would be 74, is that right? My Aunt Dot. My Aunt Dot married, by the way, when you're a kid, you don't think of this. She married, you don't even understand it. She married my Uncle Bob. Well, of course, that's who they were, Aunt Mary and Uncle Bob. I used to go visit them. He was my favorite uncle as a kid. My Uncle Bob was frankly a nice person. When you met him, he's one of the few guys that had a twinkle in his eye. He was just friendly. He was nice. And my father, I'm going to read what I wrote, because my dad liked this guy a great deal. My dad would say publicly to people that Bob McNeely had more skill and ability than any man he had ever known. He was the most creative, hardworking, gifted individual that my dad would say he ever met. Most men don't brag on other men. I will say this, at a family reunion, they moved to California when I was a teenager. They came back one time, and he had built, you see him on the highway, like a Winnebago, he had built his own from the ground floor. He had that many abilities. He was phenomenally gifted. But my Uncle Bob had a problem. Two problems. Number one, he was 5'2". This morning, I saw three of our very tall ladies. Pearly, Lord This Which Isn't Here, and who else was it? Oh, it was this lovely lady right here, Marissa. And they were, no, back there it wasn't those three. Who was the other one? Was it Pachungay? I walked in and all I know, those women stood up straight. By the way, those are women are all fine height, you know. They're all at least 5 feet. My Uncle Bob was 5'2", and he was totally bald. Before it was cool to be bald. He had the chrome dome. I mean, there was nothing, just a little bit around the edges. And my Uncle Bob thought everybody noticed that. Now, that's funny, but it isn't funny where it led to. Because I didn't know this. I was a kid. How would I know this? My Uncle Bob became insanely jealous of Aunt Dot. Insane. He started accusing her of everything you could imagine. The problem was, jealousy is usually an... She loved... By the way, she chose to marry the guy. She probably chose to marry the guy not because he was the most handsome, but he was one of the most skilled men she'd ever met, and he wasn't a guy sitting and watching television and not working. She loved the guy. By the way, you can tell when people like each other, at least. She loved the guy. I mean, I'd stayed with them in the summer a couple of times, never... But he became insanely jealous of my aunt. He started thinking other people were in on the thing. He's like people in this room. When they walk into a room, they're thinking, what are people thinking? What are they thinking? They're not thinking. That's the dumbest thing. When do you get over that? My Uncle Bob, by the way, you have to understand, I grew up in a Baptist background. I don't mean a Baptist background like we have today. I mean the old kind. I didn't really grow up around drinking in the family. There were people here, there, and yon that drank, but it was, you never drank in a public gathering. You never drank in a family reunion. There was, beer was not, just no. Alcohol, no. My Uncle Bob started drinking. Do you realize how rare that was in my family? He was the first guy I ever went to his house. He had I can still remember looking in the fridge, looking for something, probably something to drink. I looked in the fridge and there was a six-pack of Busch beer. Shocked me because I never saw beer in a refrigerator as a kid. You say, what's the big deal? It's just a little jealousy. I mean, look here. You walk in the room tonight. Well, are they going to be nice to me? Do they notice how my hair is? Really? That's what you're thinking? Isn't that what little kids think? Don't adults, do you realize if you like somebody, you like somebody, and if you don't like somebody, all that junk in your mind is not going to change anything? Yes? I guess some of you haven't figured that out. Do you realize I don't come to church every week and think, do I like Josh Kerr? I decided, I think probably 20 years ago, the answer was no, so I never have to revisit that. Really? Did you think this way? Well, Uncle Bob started drinking. By the way, it's not funny. The last year of Aunt Dodson, Uncle Bob's marriage, he'd come home so drunk that she just spent most of her time changing his clothing. Do I need to go further? Oh, by the way, he died from cirrhosis. He drank himself into the grave because he couldn't figure out, this stuff is an inside job, and it's about him. Nobody cared about his height. Nobody cared about his baldness. Nobody cared about that. Except, that's the nasty part of jealousy. Whew, ugly, ugly. In your notes. At the bottom of the first page. I'm talking about my Uncle Bob, but I'm talking about you. And Wednesday night, we'll probably get into some of this. I don't know. This might be too personal. Because it's amazing to me how jealousy rears its ugly head in strange ways. Who can help him, thinking of Saul or my uncle? Well, first of all, it's an inside job. Next page. It's about other things. And by the way, one of the things you need to do in your life, if you struggle with jealousy, look at me, if you struggle with jealousy, one of the things you need to do is step back and do this. What am I really struggling with? Am I struggling with my own insecurity? If you're struggling with your own insecurity, I got news for you folks. Nobody's going to be able to help you because nobody can get in your mind. Nobody can make you feel good about you. It's not their job. I would like to talk about this Wednesday. I don't know how to get at this because I'm afraid two-thirds of the people that need to hear it won't be here. They'll be doing things like watching television. Yes, this is not a funny thing. Listen to me. Some, you know, I look around this room, and once a person's part of this church, I don't reevaluate if I like them or not. Now, I give them a hard time all the time. Many people, but only people that I like. So if you don't get a hard time, that means I don't like you. Okay, let's continue. By the way, for my uncle, it was not about his wife. In Saul's case, it really wasn't about David. It was about Saul. Next, it was not about friends and family. My dad visited my Uncle Bob years after he divorced my Aunt Dot when he was dying. When Mom and Dad would go to California, my dad loved this guy. But this guy could never figure out people liked him. Because of your height? Really? Lastly, only he, meaning my uncle or Saul, could change things. That's the only person. So, this evening, jealousy is always an inside job. It's usually about other things, usually. Thirdly, it is inevitably obsessive. Everyone look at me. We're going to read these verses quickly. What is the number one takeaway from the rest of the book of 1 Samuel? Saul never quits chasing David. You're almost like, what is your problem? Why do you keep going after him? My goodness, the 15th time you've tried to kill him. Get a life. He just can't get over his own problems. It's obsessive. You ever meet somebody that got divorced 40 years ago and still talking about it like it was 5 minutes ago? You're like, give it a rest. So this person done you wrong. Okay, read the text. Verse 8 says this, just the highlighted portions, and what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. In verse 10, the latter part, there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And by the way, if you have a spear, you might as well throw it at David, right? And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite him, David, even to the wall. Verse 13, if that wasn't enough, he didn't kill him with the javelin or the spear. So what did he do? He sent him away in verse 13. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him a captain over 1,000. Sent him away. Verse 17, he says, well, if that won't work, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just the obsessiveness of this stupid stuff. Hey, there's been a half a dozen people in this church since I've been here that obsess about how they look. Please, if you're one of them, you're the only person interested. Once someone likes you, they like you. And if they don't like you, they're not going to start liking you because you fix your hair differently. Oh, my goodness. But when do we get over this? Saul just couldn't get over it. So after throwing a couple of spears, Saul thought, well, I know what I'll do. I'll take my daughter and put her in the mix, and I'll give my daughter to David and have David go out and kill some Philistines, and hopefully David gets killed by the Philistines. But that's not enough. He just keeps obsessing. Verse What verse is it here? Verse 21. Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him. This is the second daughter. And that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law. I mean, the obsession, it just keeps going on and on and on. Verse 29. And Saul was yet more the afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Come on, get a life. So we have said, jealousy is an inside job. It's usually about other things. It is inevitably obsessive. Friend, if you walk into the room wondering what people are thinking about you and you're older than 13, Houston, we have a problem. Hey, if your mommy and daddy didn't hug you enough, I feel for you. Get that from the Lord and get over yourself. Because nobody is going to walk into the room every time you wear new shoes or a new dress or a new do and say, we live in a culture obsessed with themselves. Number four, here's ugly. Jealousy isn't phased, and that's probably slang, or changed by reality. Everyone look at me. When 1986 happened, not in my notes, but I just want to say this to you. When 1986 happened with this situation with the pastor, there was another pastor that was there, which was a friend of mine, I thought. He never said a word. He never spoke up for me. Still hurts my feelings, but I realized why he didn't. If he would have spoken up for me, what would have happened to him? Because you understand, friends, reality doesn't change. When I'm look at me. I'm talking tonight about jealousy. The people in this room that are consumed with themselves will walk right out the door and still be consumed with themselves because they don't realize it's all on you. And maybe your daddy, ladies, didn't tell you you were pretty enough, off enough when you were a kid. Well, God bless your pinhead. There's a heavenly Father that can give you all of that. Get that from the proper source. Yes, Dad should have done some of that, but if he didn't, when do we grow up? When do we get from the Lord what we need? You say, my husband doesn't say I'm pretty enough. You know, if somebody comes up to me and starts talking that kind of junk to me, you're so good, I'm like, what are you doing? Yuck! Jealousy, number four, is not changed by reality. Look what it says in verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and he did what? Behaved himself wisely. Verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David. Why? Because David was such a bad guy? No, because the Lord was with him. Verse 14, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse 15, wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Good grief. Verse 16, but all Israel and Judah loved David. Verse 18, and David said, now we not only see all that, we see David's humility. The first time he's asked, do you want to be the king's son-in-law? He says, well, who am I? Oh, that's 18. Yeah, verse 18. Who am I and what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be the son-in-law to the king? I mean, he was a humble man. He didn't think he should be son-in-law to Saul. Verse 23. Saul's servant spake those words in the ears of David, and David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? Didn't change anything. Verse 28. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal's daughter loved him. And Saul was yet more afraid of David. I mean, nothing changes jealousy. Look at me. Nothing changes jealousy unless it changes this and this. You'll be the same person 50 years from now. A friend of mine, he had a video of this. There was an old ancient opera singer, a woman, not the famous one. What's the famous one from the 50s and 60s? The woman? Who? Yeah, there's another one too. Maria Callas. Not those two. Someone previous. Are you listening? When she got to the place where she couldn't sing, she was such an empty person that she listened to records of herself. Wait a minute. Not of herself. She had records of the applause that people gave her at concerts. Hollow person? Anyone? We continue. Verse 30. The highlighted part says, David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by, but nothing changed Saul. In your notes, what do we know? We know that David behaved himself wisely. That word has the idea of appropriately, properly, and successfully. It's all connected, the idea. Wisely, successfully, appropriately. I mean, he was a guy that was doing the right things. Next, David was loved. Next, David wasn't plotting. David wasn't plotting against Saul ever. Fact is, later on, he refuses to do any of that stuff. Made no difference. Here's the sad fact. Please look at me. If you're a jealous person, if you're one of those people that somewhere in your mind, in your heart, there's a hollow spot, this last statement is for you. David could not have changed a thing. The more he did right, the more angry he became, Saul became. It wasn't about David. It was about, look at me, friend, jealousy is a what? Yes, and it's usually about some other things. You grew up in a home where daddy didn't pat you on the back. Join the club. What you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? Keep, look at them. They think they're somebody. Do you hear your mouth? Do you hear how stupid that sounds? Number five. Jealousy usually involves or includes others. This is where it gets ugly. I won't read the text. Look at me, friend. We're going to close with this. Here's the ugliness. Are you ready? Saul included two daughters. Saul included Jonathan, if he could. Saul included his servants. Look at me in the eyes. Saul eventually included the entire nation in his jealousy. And the whole problem from the beginning was with Saul. And how did it work out? In the last chapter of 1 Samuel, he is killed. According to the Chronicles, they chopped off his head, the Philistines, and hanged it in the temple of Dagon. And the whole reason had nothing to do with David. Saul could have repented. Saul could have changed. But the consuming jealousy. I talked to someone in the last couple years that has a sister. I saw a picture. I'd known this sister or heard of her. I think I'd seen a picture many years before. I saw a picture of this sister, and I said to this person, "What happened to your sister?" The sister's like 10 years younger. What happened to her? And this was this individual's comment. Her husband is insanely jealous. He does not allow her to fix her hair, use makeup, or dress in any kind of a way that's attractive. And my first thought was, she should have cut and run before she ever hitched up to that idiot. When is that going? By the way, when is that jealousy going away? Jealousy is an inside job. It's usually about other stuff. Tends to be obsessive. Can't be changed. By the way, look at me. The more you try to change a jealous person, the more angry they become. The tragedy of it all, after a while, Saul had the whole nation out supporting his jealousy. Unreal. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time tonight.